This evening's Dharma talk is titled Be Genuine, which is something that my teacher, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, and also Bruce and Terry's teacher, one of their teachers, used to say now and then. Probably one of the shortest talks he ever gave, Be Genuine. And it was always quite puzzling. Be genuine, is that what that means? But what does that mean? What does it mean to be genuine? You know, does that mean I just got to be me? What does that mean? So it's a interesting kind of koan that is seems to, because of the conceptual area that covers, it kind of makes a little nest inside your frontal lobe and gives you trouble or supports you in another way. And the way I like to say it is the way I understand it. It's not necessarily the way he intended it. I have no idea what he meant. But I know what it meant to me. It meant don't add, don't subtract, and don't divide. Don't do the math about anything. Anything that arises, don't add to it. Anything that goes away, don't chase it. Anything that gets in your way, don't ignore it. Don't do the math. Passion, aggression, ignorance, the three poisons, are about grasping. Passion, rejecting aggression, and shutting down, ignoring, distracting yourself. There's just all kinds of ways that those things operate. And how do we work with that? The way that we work with that is to, first of all, see that that's what we're doing. See that you're not being genuine. See that you're trying to be somebody else. You're trying to be another person. You're trying to live up to some kind of result. Trying to get some kind of result. And this is why the sitting practice of meditation, or as we teach it here, shikantaza, just precisely this, sitting very still, holding very still, and endeavoring to see what continues to move. What continues to move is exactly what you need to see. You don't need to chase it. You don't need to stop it. You don't need to look away from it. If you see what it is, over time, whatever that is, we begin to see our own particular way, our own particular flavor of confusion, of self-deception, of distraction, of believing, of disbelieving. Anytime you believe something, all investigation ceases. Anytime you disbelieve anything, all investigation ceases. This doesn't mean we can't have some beliefs and disbeliefs, some things that we seem to be true that we'll go along with, and so on and so forth. But I often say, don't do anything unless you have to. And I mean by that if you're doing something that you don't really have to do, you probably haven't investigated very carefully. At least if you look at something very closely, there's really very little you have to do. A couple things. I won't name them. One of them for me is I have to drink coffee. I absolutely have to. But I have a cold, so I've stopped putting cream in it. Isn't that clever of me? Don't add. When something arises, don't add anything to it. In other words, something happens, and rather than having some kind of an opinion, idea, evaluation, some kind of something or other, you slap something on top of it out of hope and fear, out of wanting things to be different than they are, out of wanting to continue some kind of artificial separation, some kind of temporary false security. Don't do that. And so being genuine may feel, maybe on some level it might feel, well, that would be kind of phony, wouldn't it? To try to be some kind of special, genuine person. Or if I were genuine, I mean, what if I'm suddenly, does that mean I, every time I lose my temper, I get to blow my stack and throw my coffee cup across the room because that's how I feel? No, we're not saying that. I'm not saying that. And I certainly don't think that Vidyadhara was saying that either. What seems to be being pointed out here is that when something arises that is actually the case in your mind, your sensorium, your sense fields, however it's arising in your situation as experience and consciousness, just observe that. Just let that be what that is. If it's threatening, don't fight. Don't get rid of it. Don't do away with it. Don't oppose it. If it's enticing or magnetizing or seductive, don't necessarily follow it. On the other hand, if you do follow it, then don't necessarily add on some kind of a correction, like I shouldn't be following that. It's very circular. It's like stepping on a tilt-a-whirl or a merry-go-round. Anytime you add on to anything, it starts to become circular. That's why they call this samsara, wheel of life and death, going around and around. And sitting practice of meditation sharpens, hones, increases, strengthens the awareness, which just very simply sees, just directly seeing whatever is happening. If you don't see what is going on, then you probably won't be able to function in a way that is, and if what it is that you're not seeing is self-deception, if you don't actually see the self-deception, then you're kind of functioning at the mercy of that. So quite often, the minute we see, or the second we see a little bit of self-deception, a little bit of anything that we don't particularly care for, we want to change it. We jump to conclusions. We want to, that needs to stop. I shouldn't be thinking that. And as soon as you do that, as soon as you make any kind of movement towards that, to accept it, reject it, look away from it, your awareness is clouded. And we start to go in circles again. We go through passion, aggression, ignorance, passion, aggression, ignorance. We all know of the situation when someone loses their temper. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone else. Terribly mad and just throwing shit everywhere. Of course, I don't do that anymore. But we know when someone explodes like that, that it lasts a little while. Nothing lasts, but it lasts a little while. And then if someone who's operating out of awareness sees what that is, it will just die. It will just be like, goes out. No apology, no regret, no explanation, no nothing. It just goes, and it goes very, very fast. But if we're looking at someone who is deluded, this person will go from the aggressive part into the passion part. In other words, feeling remorse. And then the remorse will go on for a while, and then that becomes so painful that we start to shut down on it or ignore it. And then the next time something else comes up that is irritating or isn't going your way, bang, aggression. It's just a way of talking about it. It might go the other way around. It might not even happen at all. Awareness about that, around that, within that, seeing that for what it is with as little meddling as possible. Don't meddle with what is happening in your mind. This is being genuine. Being genuine may not feel, might not live up to your ideal of authenticity or truth or genuineness, but it may be the particular passage you personally need to go through in your life in order to really begin to fundamentally understand how deep your discursiveness and how deep your delusion, how deep your particular confusion is. You follow me, Ruby? Good to see you here. Orange socks and all. So it's about bringing awareness. We have something that's going on called our life. And it's about, besides just living our life and living it out of hope and fear, I want it, I don't want it, I should have it, they should, I should, they shouldn't. Constantly, a constant interpretation, commentary, running commentary, like a little reporter sitting on your shoulder. Constant comment. Instead of that happening, all that is happening, but is happening without any standard, any kind of comparison, making a comparison to how we should be. Well, this is how we are. Well, how should we be? That's why in our particular lineage, the Soto lineage of ancient Japan, we have the 16 precepts. So Revijin, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha as the example of sanity, the truth that he taught, the Dharma, the Sangha, or the community of people who are endeavoring to understand that truth. And the next three pure precepts are, don't do bad, do good, and be with all things. And be with all things is to save all beings, or be with all things, starting with your own thought patterns. If you kill your own thoughts, this is murder. I got your attention. So don't stop anything from happening, unless you have to. And if you have to, you'll know. And how will you know? Because it won't look like a fork in the road. It'll look like a downhill slide. This is called choicelessness. If you realize the fundamental nature of who you are, without a doubt, you'll no longer make choices about anything. Everything will be clear and obvious. It'll be obvious what to do next. You might see signs in the road, but they'll just point that way or that way. that way. Some of them might point that way. And what do I mean by that? I mean that it'll be clear to you what you need to do next because you're so not separating yourself into some separate isolated entity or consciousness that has his or her own territory and ideas and agenda and opinions, correctness or incorrectness for that matter. Any questions at this point?
One from Sheldon down in Tekancha.
Yes, Sheldon.
He asks, how does it help us to be instructed to do something we apparently have no actual control of?
Like what? Is he referring to genuine? The way you do something you have no control over is to see the way in which you have no control over it. As Koban Shinoroshi once said, get your own authority. We'll set up standards. Get your own authority. What does that mean? It's to see that there really isn't any authority. I'm not saying that relatively there isn't authorities. Sometimes we have to call the authorities. So it's a matter of bringing awareness to that situation that will open that up so we can see what all of the dynamics are about there. I think that's what Sheldon is asking about. So he has a further question.
Not yet.
Yes, sir.
What is delusion?
It's thinking that there are separate things and that you're separate from everything else and that you somehow... There's a right and a wrong, and a should and a shouldn't, and a birth and a death. Being trapped into thinking there's some kind of positionality going on that you could possibly get control over. And different levels of it are different ways of talking about it. That's one of the ways. Now you should ask me what realization is or enlightenment is. Go ahead.
What is realization?
You don't have to do everything I say.
Why are you always picking on me?
You're an easy mark. You could ask whatever you want.
I'd like to know.
What?
That same question. What is realization?
Not separate. It's not separate from anything, including delusion. That's why it's often said that Buddhas and sentient beings are not two, not separate. But you have to realize it. You can't just do it conceptually. It has to be realized deep in your heart.
Does delusion arise together with emotion?
Good, sure. Could be emotionally deluded. Yeah, that'd probably be the fun way of doing it.
Is there a way to recognize delusion before it brings me into an emotional state?
Yes. Through awareness practice, through meditation practice, is looking very closely at that which is in motion. Watch the thought patterns that are in motion and see if there's someone creating those. See if there's a thinker. See if there's someone generating that. And you'll find somebody. But then look closely and see all the parts that make up that thinker. The rest of you don't have to do this. It's just for you. Yes, sir.
That thinker or the delusion in the separateness is the opposite to that when you start to feel space between things?
Space between thing is feeling space between things is path. So that may be when you step on the path, that's probably one of the first things that will start to occur is less claustrophobia, less shrinking up into a defensiveness, more and more openness as the path opens up. But fruition is not necessarily space, nor is it not space. Fruition is not separate, so therefore you can't find space. If you find it, then there's something else that's not space, which is duality. That's why in the Yogacara teachings, mind-only teachings, talks about consciousness only. I like to say perception only. In other words, something is perceived, you, and there's somebody perceiving me. But the actuality is, there's just a perception. There's no one having it. There's no one being had by it. It's just this. It's sometimes a fancy word for it. And the English word for it is suchness. You've studied this, right? Yeah. So then the Sanskrit, did I say Sanskrit? I'm always retranslating. I get that from Bruce. Bruce looks at something and says, I think it should be said this way. So the Sanskrit word is tatata, which is where the word tatagata comes from. The one who comes thusly, no past, no future, thus, or suchness. If that's not what's happening, then there's a separation into self and other. They're not wrong, it's just delusion.
Another thing that comes up is the opposite, back to delusion and separateness, mm-hmm. the speed seems to play into, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think the speed all of a sudden rushing.
Yeah, that's good. That's why sitting practice of meditation is so slowing down, just holing still and doing it for a few hours a day or whatever you need to do, maybe more, maybe less. We just naturally sit down, hold still, and watch the speediness of the mind. If you don't do anything with it, in our tradition, we don't do anything with it. We don't try to slow it down. We don't try to become a good meditator, which is in some traditions do, and they should be. People who were drawn to that, that's what they need to do. But in this tradition, it's just this. Maybe speeding, may not be.
The same as putting it down. I've heard another.
Also?
Just this. As it arises, put it down, set it down, let it go. Is this all getting at the same?
I don't teach let it go.
Okay.
I don't teach put it down. Okay. I don't even teach don't pick it up.
Or let it rest.
I teach this. This. There's nothing to be done. As my teacher, Koban Shinaroshi, translated the mantra that you did this evening. Did you do the Heart Sutra tonight? Yeah. The Heart Sutra says, Gate Gate Par Gate Par Sangate Bodhi Bodhisvaha, which he translated as falling apart, falling apart, falling apart, nothing to do. So the whole structure of mind, ego, and your everything you want to do, and everything you should have done, and everything you could do, and you plan to do, the whole construct of self and its territory starts to collapse through prajna or awareness. Prajna paramita, the wisdom that is crossed over. And what did it cross over? I don't know. It's completely fallen apart. There isn't anything to do. And yet here we are.
A question from Crystal in Providence, Rhode Island.
I know her.
She says, hello.
Hello.
My teacher often says something like, the question is, do you believe in basic goodness or not? This annoys me because of the word belief. Do we sometimes use the word belief in lieu of experience? As in, do I experience basic goodness? But then that seems to imply basic goodness is a state of being rather than what is. Thoughts?
I don't have thoughts. Crystal? Okay, Crystal's teacher is Sakyong Nipam Rinpoche. Sakyong's probably going to use the word belief, but, you know, you'd have to be there challenging him on that. He'd probably just change it to something else. Okay, well, I won't call it belief. I'll call it something else. So I think basic goodness is what is left when everything else is taken away. Just a way of talking about it. And it's also not separate from everything that's taken away. If it's going to be not two or non-duality or not separate or suchness, then there are no polarities left, particularly. I think. Is that right? What do you think, Ribby? I do that sometimes. Further question from Kristen?
Not yet, but one from Brian in White Plains, New York.
Okay.
He asks, whether it's clear or not, is the correct decision always being made?
Of course. You can't make any mistakes. It's a big mistake to think there's mistakes. Couldn't resist that. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that if you're caught up in the oh that's wrong, that's a mistake, or that's then we get caught up in the world of samsara and the world of cause and effect, the world of relative truth. And it's not that there isn't truth there, but it's relative truth. Anytime you have this, you're going to have that. Anytime you have that, you're going to have this. So we're always at war with ourselves. We're always evaluating, leveling, supporting, fluffing up, tamping down, fluffing up, tamping down. It's endless. We've been doing this for lifetime after lifetime. And now you're here in this room where you get to hear an old man say, knock that off. Just prioritize the awareness. Just see what is true. If it goes up, watch it go up. If it comes down, watch it go down. Make sound, listen. Doesn't make any sound, listen. So that kind of situation is, whether something is right or wrong, that's way overrated. Tegan.
So when you do these talks, the concepts themselves are decently easy to understand on a conceptual level, but how do we see past that? Because conceptual does not seem to be enough.
Well, first of all, you're seeing that there might be something that the concept is pointing to. It's like looking at a menu and say, how do I order this? Or looking at a recipe for lemon meringue pie. And you could look at that all day and starve to death. You might be able to describe it, list all the things. You might have it all memorized. You might know where number three ingredient is and how much. You might know all that. But you just about have to put the recipe down in order to bake the pie. Just a metaphor, just a way of talking about it. Fundamentally, it's look where it's pointing. Try to see if you can understand where the concept. Why do they have a word like suchness? Why do they have a word like tathagata? Why would they have a word? Why wouldn't they just... Let's just be clear about this and call it just reality or something. It doesn't seem to work because people's preconceptions and presumptions and opinions about the word reality are also so well lodged in your experience, your memory, that you have all kinds of other things that connect with that. You probably don't have much connected with the word suchness. So my final response to you would be, and I'm happy to answer another question. I see you're ready. But I would say is strengthen the awareness. Get the awareness. So the awareness itself, this is just another way of talking about it. Most people are using their thinking process to do everything. And that protects the self-centeredness of the ego. Think about this. Think about that. Should I? Shouldn't I? Is that good? Is that bad? Should I go this way or go that way? What do you think about what you're thinking? What do I think about what you're thinking about what I'm thinking what you're thinking? That sounds silly, but we do that. We actually wonder what people are thinking about what we're thinking, what they're thinking about what we're thinking they're thinking. We do it. And so get it so that the space, another just a very simple metaphor, that the spaciousness, that the awareness starts to move out in front of the conceptual mind. You want to get rid of the conceptual mind. We need it. You need it close at hand, but it needs to be prioritized, reprioritized so that the awareness, it's like you don't want to put the clouds before the sky. First, you got to have a sky. Have sky. Clouds come later. Next question.
I find that when I put the concepts, to put them aside, I find that then I become distracted and it doesn't feel like I'm getting any closer to understanding.
That's why I'm here. Is that a question?
My question is going to be how to work with that.
Very good.
To still keep on track.
Okay, don't worry about it. All you're doing is evaluating what is happening and trying to have some kind of gaining idea about it so you can keep control of it. As you get rid of it, you want to send some little streamers out there to keep you connected to that little wagon. But don't worry about it, which, of course, means you'll keep on worrying about it. Sit a lot, which you do already. You do a lot more. Yes.
From Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Do I understand correctly then being instructed to be genuine is just a way to help us be aware of the way we are and are not genuine?
I think that if that's coming out of your sitting practice, then that's, you can see the way we've not been, been artificial about things. We've been leaning on some kind of artificiality, and we might see where we're having some kind of difficulty with our thinking process or some kind of confusion going on there. And rather than artificially or too cleaning it up or smoothing it out or putting it in a nice neat box and setting it aside as our confusion, instead we look at it. It could be messy. It could be smelly, but we look at it. So be genuine. And with each person, that's going to be different. And maybe with some people, depending on your particular causes and conditions, your karma could be really difficult. Some people were, if you lived in the, I was reading about the South Sudan today. There's 28 separate countries there in the South Sudan. You don't want to live there. There's a whole lot of famine going on there. And you look at those little children who are tiny people that, you know, they didn't choose to be there. We didn't choose to be here. So when we talk about make the right choices, way overrated. Awareness. Awareness is king. Awareness is queen. Awareness is not person. Awareness doesn't belong to anyone, even though I said king and queen. It doesn't belong to anyone. More further questions, please. I have a little bit of time left. Bailey.
I'm in a situation where irritation arises, maybe in the presence of another person.
No.
Does being genuine mean to express that irritation?
Not necessarily, but it does also doesn't mean that to hold it back. It doesn't necessarily mean to be genuine. There's no, you can't really find a criteria for it. It may, being genuine is being so completely honest and genuine with yourself that you may risk your reputation. I mean, you might feel like this may not look very good, but here it comes. And you might say something that doesn't put you in a particularly good light, but you can't help it. And also, you'll notice that if you do that, if you say, if there are a couple of words just before you say, I just have to say this, that's ego. And it's not impulse to just say something. That's not impulse. Impulse is when, well, I just have to be me. I just have to say this. Or we do something and then we back it up with some kind of justification for it. So it's like a passion aggression. Let's see. It's like a passion. No, it's like an ignorance and passion sandwich. I was trying to figure out which bread was which. But it is like, it's anytime we're in any situation, no matter what it may be, then we find ourselves with some irritation, like it sounds like you're, there's no right or wrong. There's no standard for that. This is what everyone is looking for, a right and wrong and a standard. A lot of the world is living on that level of awareness. You don't have to do that. You can live out of your awareness. You can afford to live completely in this present moment. If there's no self, no self in the skandhas or the form, feeling, perception, concept, or memory and consciousness, there's no solid being there anywhere. If you look, you won't see anybody. Yay. You don't need anybody. You don't need that kind of a structure. And so you might find one time you're not saying something, you're just there, and sometime you are saying something. But the other thing I often say, I'm saying now, is stay in your senses. The first five sense consciousnesses are always now, unless they're not, which is also possible. But generally speaking, gravity is here, don't forget it. How your clothes feel, how colors look, how the textures of things look, the spaces, the interval between all the apparent solid objects. That's always present to you. It's always available. It is your world. And it has been called a sacred world because you can't find anything that is profane in it anywhere. This is called perception only.
Yeah. Tegan. Especially in the earlier stages of practicing to strengthen your awareness, how can we tell the difference between us being genuine and what is our ego?
I wouldn't worry about that. The most important thing for you to, in provisional teachings and the early stages of practice, which is pretty early for everyone really, is just practice. Just do the practice. The discipline part is get your body in through the door of your room, your meditation room, or this temple, or any place where you can sit down, hold still, and observe the mind. And see the way you keep objecting to yourself. Keep objecting to your world, objecting to yourself. So you don't have to worry about what's ego. Ego is unreal. So you could spend 20 years trying to get rid of something that's unreal called ego. You don't have to get rid of anything. Everything is already complete and perfect in itself. And that's not something to be believed. So when you leave here, forget everything I said. If you can. I have a couple of minutes. Kevin.
Is there actually somebody to be genuine?
No, probably not. The question being asked the way you're asking it, probably not a solid being. There's something happening there. It's just not a self. So therefore, it's not threatened. It's just manifesting as this particular situation. Been going on for a long time, but it's always right now. So you can get, you can make up a lot of interesting things around that. Further question?
What is genuine actually pointing at? What is being genuine?
I think that
not so much know the right inflection there, but not the action of, but the quality of being genuine. What is being genuine? No, that's the wrong inflection. I can't get it right. What is being genuine? No, yeah.
Who is it that's being genuine?
What?
Who is it that's being genuine?
No.
Wait. Go ahead.
What?
Wait, now wait. Now go.
Here, I got it. Okay, what is being genuine? That wasn't a statement. That was a question.
That was a question. Okay, what is being genuine? What is being genuine? Truth, ultimacy, Buddha nature. We can use lots of words, but it's just it's not separate from itself. So it's not divided up. Genuine is just a word that just expresses just the fundamental nature of everything. Basic goodness is another one. Genuine is just genuine. It just shines on everything, all the time, everywhere. It's genuine. Keep coming. Yes. No. Yes.
Ethan. Uh-oh. From Brooklyn.
Uh-oh, Ethan's question.
Who's on first? And
yeah. Should I answer that? Who's on first?
No, who's on second?
Who's on second?
What?
Yeah. Does anybody, everyone know the Bud Abbott, Lou Costello? So no, circular.
What's on third?
Yes, go ahead.
Gyokudo's follow-up question. Can being genuine feel awkward?
Always. Yes, always. Both A words. Any further questions?
Ethan says correct.
Ethan did. He wants to borrow money. Any further questions before we close? You have one, Tegan? No. No questions? Did I make total sense? No?
Partway.
Thanks. I'll take that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Also, I'd like to remind everybody that we do have a donation box in the hallway. We appreciate your donations. Also online, and we can take your credit and debit cards now with our little square. C. Bailey.
May Mary Bliss penetrate into all places so that